Good afternoon. This is Akashvani, and I am Anuja Kumar with the Midday News. The headlines. Relief operations continue in Punjab, Jammu and Kashmir and Himachal Pradesh even as flood situation subsides. Indian Air Force rescues 541 people and airlifts over 10 tons of essential relief material. IMD forecasts very heavy rainfall over Gujarat and Rajasthan till tomorrow. India reaffirms its commitment to an open and inclusive WTO-led trading system, highlights need for export diversification and building resilient supply chains. A rare total lunar eclipse to take place tonight at 8:58 p.m. across India. And India and South Korea to clash in final of Men's Asia Cup Hockey Championship at Rajgir this evening. And now the news in detail. The flood-ravaged Punjab is inching towards normalcy after losing 46 lives and experiencing vast damage to land, property and livestock, although the exact magnitude of damage can only be accessed after water recedes. Punjab government has pegged the estimated losses to over 13,000 crore rupees. Little sunshine in between light to moderate rain is coming as a ray of hope for those affected and still struggling to come to terms. About 2,000 villages and a population of over 3.87 lakh has been impacted.
Little sunshine in between light to moderate rain is coming as a ray of hope for those affected and still struggling to come to terms. About 2,000 villages and a population of over 3.87 lakh has been impacted. Meanwhile, overflowing of Markanda and Tangri rivers in Haryana are giving jitters to Patiala and surrounding areas which are facing floods. Local administrations along with relief and rescue teams of Indian Army, NDRF, BSF and volunteers are working round the clock to diminish the impact of water. State government has ordered to open all educational institutions on September 9th after proper checking of the buildings by staff tomorrow. Rajesh Bali, Akashvani News, Jalandhar.
In the past 24 hours, the pace of the monsoon has slowed down in Himachal Pradesh, with intermittent rainfall continuing. During this period, Manali and Kullu district recorded the highest rainfall of 24 millimetres. The Meteorological Department has issued a yellow alert for thunderstorms and lightning at some places today and tomorrow. From September 9 to 13, light to moderate rainfall is expected across the state, but no alert has been issued for it.
In recent days, heavy rainfall, landslides and flash floods have severely disrupted normal life in Himachal Pradesh. According to the State Emergency Operations Center, three national highways and 866 link roads are still blocked for traffic. These include National Highway 3 and National Highway 305 in Kullu and National Highway 505 in Lahol Spiti. In the upper areas of Shimla district, many link roads remain blocked, preventing apple growers from transporting their produce to the markets. Near Chela in district, the Shimla Tiog Rohdu road has been closed since yesterday due to landslides and debris, leaving many vehicles stranded, including trucks loaded with apples. Administrative and police teams are working on a war footing to clear the road. Power and water supply in the state have also been badly affected. A total of 1,572 transformers and 389 drinking water schemes are out of service and efforts are underway to restore them. Ritesh Kapoor, Akashvani News, Shimla.
The Indian Air Force, IAF, has carried out a major humanitarian operation in landslide-affected regions of Jammu and Kashmir and Himachal Pradesh. In a social media post, Western Air Command of IAF said Indian Air Force helicopters continue to provide relief operations across Punjab, Himachal and J&K by having evacuated 541 people from Bharmor Chamba sector and airlifting over 10,000 kgs of essential relief material in Kullu and Kishtwar sectors. It said the IAF has assets positioned for follow-up tasks, reflecting the IAF's unwavering commitment to humanitarian assistance and disaster relief. Four helicopters and 35 crew worked day and night to make these missions a success. The Northern Railway will run a pair of local passenger train service between Sri Mata Vaishno Devi Katra station and Sangaldan station for 5 days from tomorrow. Our correspondent reports that this train service will aid the passengers stranded due to incessant rains and flash floods in Riyasi and Ramban. The service will help restore the critical connectivity and will serve as a lifeline till road connectivity is restored. The Jammu-Katra shuttle train service remained suspended for the third day today after a landslide blocked the track between Ramnagar and Manwal along the Jammu-Udhampur section. In Jammu and Kashmir, the Meteorological Department has forecast intermittent rain and thunder showers across J&K till the 12th of this month, but ruled out any major weather activity. Our correspondent reports that as per the Met Department, a widespread spell is likely between today and tomorrow, with light rain or thunder showers expected at many locations. Some districts in Jammu Division may experience moderate rainfall during late night or early morning hours. Meanwhile, strategic Jammu-Srinagar National Highway, NH44, is still closed for vehicular movement for the sixth consecutive day today. Restoration work is going on. The India Meteorological Department, or IMD, has forecast extremely heavy rainfall over Gujarat and West Rajasthan today. According to IMD, isolated places of Haryana, Chandigarh, Delhi and Uttarakhand are expected to witness heavy to very heavy rainfall in the next 2 to 3 days. Similar conditions are also likely to prevail over Tamil Nadu, Kerala, Mahi, Lakshadweep, coastal Andhra Pradesh and Yanam. The Met Department has also predicted isolated rainfall over Assam, Nagaland, Manipur, Mizoram and Tripura till tomorrow. Meanwhile, IMD has also predicted strong surface winds over coastal Andhra Pradesh, Yanam and Rayalaseema during the next 5 days. On this Independence Day at the ramparts of the Red Fort, Prime Minister Narendra Modi announced the next generation of GST reforms by Diwali. The Prime Minister's vision of creating a more efficient and citizen-friendly economy was realized as the GST Council on 3rd of September approved rates rationalization with a focus on common man. The Council has simplified the indirect tax system into a two-tier structure of 5% and 18% from a four-tier structure of 5%, 12%, 18% and 28%. These reforms have reduced tax rates in many sectors, easing the life of citizens. Today, we'll look at the reforms undertaken for medical devices and equipments. Our correspondent reports that the GST reforms have been carried out with a focus on the common man and will come into effect from the 22nd of this month.
The GST Council, in its meeting on Wednesday, announced a series of tax reforms with multi-sectoral and multi-thematic focus aimed at easing tax burden and improving business conditions. The Council has announced a tax rate of 5% from the earlier 18% on all medical devices and instruments for medical, surgical, dental and veterinary need, other than the ones that are exempted specifically. Additionally, tax rate on bandages, diagnostic kits, glucometers and other essential medical supplies has been slashed from 12% to 5%. GST has been reduced from 12% to nil on 33 life-saving drugs and from 5% to nil on 3 critical drugs used to treat cancer, rare diseases and severe chronic conditions. Talking to media, Managing Director of Poly Medicure, Himanshu Baid, said that the GST reforms will directly benefit the consumers.
I think this is a very big decision for, you know, driving consumption into a country where most of the products, you know, essential products, the GST rates have come down, you know, from 18% to 5% or 12% to 5%. And if you look at from healthcare perspective, medical devices which were rated between, you know, 5, 12 and 18, everything collapsed to 5% now. And even for essential products like thermometers, glucometers, diagnostic kits or BP instruments, the GST rate has gone down to 5%. So it directly benefits the consumer. Also for healthcare services, as the cost of devices and equipments will come down, this will also reduce the cost for healthcare for the patients. It's a great reform which has been done by the government.
The reduction of GST on medical devices will lower the cost of healthcare and thereby benefit patients, particularly the poor. With Rishu Jaiswal, Soumya Sharan for Akashwani News, Delhi.
This is Akashwani giving you the news. For quick news updates around the clock, follow us on our X handle at AIR News Alerts. And for details of these stories and more, log on to our website www.newsoneair.gov.in and download the News on AIR app. India reaffirmed its commitment to an open, fair and inclusive multilateral trading system with the World Trade Organization, WTO. At the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, SCO, Trade Ministers' Meeting held in Vladivostok, Yesterday, India also stressed the scope to leverage the SCO's collective strengths for shared prosperity. In a statement, the Commerce and Industry Ministry said the country highlighted the need for export diversification, reducing dependency, and building resilient supply chains. India also emphasized the importance of coordinated action to enhance trade flows, address vulnerabilities, and support inclusive growth across the region. Japanese Prime Minister Shigeru Ishiba has decided to resign to avoid a split within the ruling Liberal Democratic Party. Ishiba's LDP-led coalition lost its upper house majority in an election in July. The announcement reported by the state broadcaster NHK today comes weeks after Ishiba denied reports he planned to resign over the defeat his LDP-led coalition suffered in election. Mr. Ishiba had said last Tuesday that he wanted to make sure the tariff deal struck with the United States was appropriately implemented as he resisted calls to quit, saying that he would make a decision on how to take responsibility for the election loss at an appropriate timing. At least 3 people have been killed, 18 wounded, and dozens of buildings set on fire in Kyiv, including the seat of the government, following a Russian drone and missile attack in Ukraine's capital. According to officials and local news reports, a fire has broken out at an administrative building in Kyiv's Pechersky district following the drone attack, which also knocked out power in the city. Russian attacks on Ukraine have increased in recent days, even as U.S. President Donald Trump stepped up diplomacy to end the 3.5-year war, although those efforts have not yet been successful. In Gaza, a second high-rise building was destroyed in overnight bombing by the Israeli military, killing 56 Palestinians. Israel yesterday had issued evacuation warnings for 2 high-rise buildings in Gaza and nearby areas. Avichai Adrai, a military spokesperson, claimed without providing evidence that the buildings were targets because Hamas had infrastructure inside or near them. Meanwhile, in Tel Aviv, families and supporters of Israeli hostages took to the streets last evening, demanding Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu sign a deal to secure the release of their loved ones from the Hamas custody. On to sports. There's a great excitement among spectators for the final match of the Men's Asia Cup Hockey Championship between India and Korea to be played this evening. The match will start in Rajgir, Bihar at 7:30 p.m. today. More from our correspondent.
In Asia Cup hockey, the Indian team under the leadership of Captain Harmanpreet Singh has proved through its performance after a gap of 8 years, it is a strong contender for the Asia Cup title. If India wins today, the victory will also secure its qualification for the upcoming Hockey World Cup to be held in the Netherlands and Belgium. Given India's excellent coordination and skills, the team is considered to have an upper hand against Korea. However, defending champions Korea have capability to make upset. The Korean team proved its capacity when it surprised everyone by defeating Malaysia in their previous match despite trailing earlier. Overall, today's final promises to be thrilling contest between India and Korea. Dharmendra Kumar Rai, Akashvani News, Rajgir.
In the U.S. Open Tennis Championship, men's singles final will be played tonight between Carlos Alcaraz and Jannik Sinner at 11:30 p.m. A rare celestial event is set to unfold tonight as a total lunar eclipse will be visible in the night sky. The eclipse will be clearly visible across India, including cities like Delhi, Mumbai, Kolkata and Bengaluru, as well as in Asia, Australia, Eastern Africa and parts of Europe. According to media reports, the eclipse will begin tonight at 8:58 p.m. and end at 2:25 a.m. on 8th of September. And now, before we end the bulletin, the headlines once again. Relief operations continue in Punjab, Jammu and Kashmir and Himachal Pradesh even as flood situation subsides. Indian Air Force rescues 541 people and airlifts over 10 tons of essential relief material. IMD forecasts very heavy rainfall over Gujarat and Rajasthan till tomorrow. India reaffirms its commitment to an open and inclusive WTO-led trading system, highlights need for export diversification and building resilient supply chains. A rare total lunar eclipse to take place tonight at 8:58 p.m. across India. India and South Korea to clash in final of Men's Asia Cup Hockey Championship at Rajgir this evening. And with that, we end the midday news.